a lot of times that money just does feel so overwhelming to people, and they're seeking exactly what you were seeking, right? Like, how do I set myself up for success? Like, how do I set my family up for success? And the challenging part, and the part that is overwhelming even sometimes to me, is there are so many options and so many choices, right?
Money is that one object that everybody wants but doesn't know how to achieve it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And there's different reasons for that, right? That they just don't know how, or they don't care. I mean, that's when we talked about the relationship. The other part with stuff, you know, people, the best saying is, oh, you guys always talk about money. You know, money doesn't buy happiness. Well, I disagree with that statement.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jack owner Jax Kreider. And today we have Corey. He has been a money man for quite a while, and I'll kind of let him introduce himself, tell us a little bit about what he does and what he's going to want to talk about today. So welcome, Corey.
Hey, Jacqueline. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Of course.
Yeah, no, this is great. I appreciate it. I'm just here to kind of, you know, we can have a little discussion so maybe our listeners can learn something as far as the financial world, how it works, the differences that are out there, because it's a very broad and big industry, really.
It is.
Some people get pigeonholed into one criteria and get afraid of it. So I just like to talk today about, you know, some kind of strategies that are out there, have a conversation. Hopefully somebody can learn something from it.
Absolutely. And tell me a little bit more about your background so the listeners can kind of have an understanding of where your perspective is coming from.
So real quick, I'll go back to, I was a general contractor.
Okay.
And I was looking how to prepare for my retirement, basically, is what happened. And in that process, I was going through, you know, looking how to put money over here, put money over there. Thought real estate was a thing since I was a general contractor. And
sure.
then I came across a company and they showed me a totally different strategy, I think, using insurance and real estate and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. So I went through the process with them and kind of put a plan together for me, right?
For sure.
And after it was said and done, I really liked it. So kind of went all in. But I decided it was so much fun that that's what I want to do.
Nice.
So that's how I got started. I asked the guy that helped me put it together, what's it take to get into this industry? I'm really excited about it. I've been doing a lot of reading on it, doing a lot of checking up on things. And he goes, well, why don't you start with just getting your license? I go, okay, what's that entail? He gave me a site to go to, got the license, like 30 days, had the license, called him back up and said, now what's the next step? And so that's what it was. So I just started on a part-time basis, kind of doing it on the side, running my construction company. And then about a year or two into that, year and a half, I just decided I'm going to do this full time. So it took me about another year and a half to close the construction company down, fulfill all my contracts and everything that I had with everybody, got everything done, and then just did this full time. It's been game changing for me, the education I've got from it, and it's been a major change for my family and how I've helped my families, my parents and everybody's future know that they are set and they don't have to worry about it in the future.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I think a lot of times that money just does feel so overwhelming to people and they're seeking exactly what you were seeking, right? Like, how do I set myself up for success? Like, how do I set my family up for success? And the challenging part, and the part that is overwhelming even sometimes to me, is there are so many options and so many choices, right? And there's a lot of different ways that you can skin the cat. Like, that's why, you know, Financial Mastery Simplified exists, is your life, your terms, because I want to give people perspectives and help them understand that there isn't necessarily one right way. And everybody is going to share with you, oh, you should just do it this way. And that may be true for you, right? Like, that may be what resonated. Like, you were lucky enough to get into with some people that you had those conversations and you realize, like, this is actually something that really aligns with me. Like, I really love this and I want to connect with that. But I always tell people, you know, kind of understand what feels good and like what kind of aligns with your goal path and what doesn't align. And it's okay to say no if it's not kind of where you want to head. But there's a lot of options like what you're doing that, you know, you might take a look at them, kind of get a little curious, learn what that looks like and see if that is the right path for you or your family.
Yeah, it's a comfort zone, what I tell everybody. It's your comfort area, you know. What are you comfortable with? You know, I mean, in the industry we talk about what's your comfortable risk you want to take, you know, what are you with that?
For sure.
You know, and I always take it just a step deeper than their comfort zone.
I was going to say, you have to push yourself a little outside of your comfort zone, right, Corey? Or you're never going to get to where you want to be.
Right. I always ask them, do you know what your relationship with money is? Because that's a big part of it, right? How do you look at money?
For sure.
You know, I mean, you can be comfortable with risk, you can be comfortable with that, but what's your relationship with it? What does it really mean to you as in the value that it gives you, right? Because it's, let's face it, that's what the money does for us. It gives us the things that we need and want. And
for
so
sure.
That's what my, one of my first questions is, you know, what's your relationship with money? And most people have no idea. They have no idea. So we got to get around those battles and then start from there. And then they can learn what direction they go. Because the more I know about them, I can kind of help them find where they need to be, right? Because I don't have all the answers. I always tell them that. I don't have all the answers. We're going to work through some things here. And we may need to bring somebody else in here to fulfill some other things that I either choose not to do or don't do, you know?
No, absolutely.
Knowing their inside, what they're thinking.
Well, and one of the things that Financial Mastery Simplified as a platform does is we're a lot about self-awareness in that respect, because that is a really big problem. Like I say all the time, it doesn't matter if I drop $2 million in your lap tomorrow, if you don't understand like what your mindset is around money, like what some of your blocks are, what, you know, what is your relationship with it? How do you think and feel about it? Like if you don't understand on the back end, you're not going to be able to be successful with that money, because you can't really be intentional with it. Because I think intentionality comes from a lot of self-awareness. And the truth is, it's really hard to be self-aware about money, because number one, the patterns are created when we're very small. We don't even realize like when we're creating the patterns around money, because a lot of it is how it was shown to us, right? Like what did our parents, like what was their relationship with money? What did we see? So not just our parents, but the other people we were around, right? Would it maybe our friends' parents or our grandparents or somebody else that had some sort of influential point in our life? Like, what does that look like? And then you layer in things like cultural expectations, religious expectations, like there's whole layers there. And so if you're not willing to dig a little bit, a little bit deep, I feel like everybody has a desire to be successful with money. But what they don't always realize is that success comes from a place of number one, being intentional about where are you at with it. And then number two, what are we doing to create the path to lead you to where you want to be with money, right?
Yes.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Money is that one object that everybody wants, but doesn't know how to achieve it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
And there's different reasons for that, right? That they just don't know how, or they don't care. I mean, that's when we talk about the relationship. The other part with stuff, you know, people, the best saying is, oh, you guys always talk about money. You know, money doesn't buy happiness. Well, I disagree with that statement. I truly disagree with that statement. And the sole purpose is because I always say, just think if you can have unlimited amount of money, how happy you can make others by giving it away.
For sure. So my mom says money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does help.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if I gave somebody money tomorrow, they're going to be happy. I guarantee it. They're going to be happy they got it. It doesn't make people unhappy. So
for sure.
It's just something. And it's in the industry is a tough industry. Like you were saying earlier, there's not just one way to do it. You know, there's a lot of cookie cutter systems out there that just put you in it and it's there. And it's not going to work for everybody unless you know how you relate to money, right? You know, I mean, we all know those people that are on TV. I mean, we talked about them earlier, Dave Ramsey, Susie Wermans, and everything like that. You know, they're like very cut and dry, you know, got to do this. And I'm not saying they don't have a place. They have a place for a lot of people. They've done some great things, right?
For sure.
But I see it as those things were great for those people, but those systems, you outgrow them.
For sure.
If you've done everything, you outgrow them. So now you need to be able to make it to the next step. And that's where the planning pieces always come in. I mean, it's, yeah, sure, get out of debt. That's great. But, you know, then you go back to good debt, bad debt, right? It's that world that you need to have some kind of plan together that fits your goals exactly how you want it to be. And you can do that. You can build that. And you got to be able to adjust on the move.
For sure. But yeah, well, I think that... I actually don't completely knock Dave Ramsey. I don't like some of his teachings specifically because I do feel like it's they come from a very one size fits all kind of approach. And I also think that, like, for instance, the idea of the debt snowball. And if you're not familiar, if you're listening, you're not familiar with what a debt snowball is. It means that you've got some debts and you basically take the smallest debt and you put as much money towards that small debt. And then when you pay that off, you take all the money, you replace it to a small debt, and you do it to the next smallest debt, right? And you do this until you've snowballed all your debt out of the way and you've paid it all off. That concept and that theory is great, and it actually does work. The problem is that if you don't deal with the underlying what created the debt in the first place, right? Was it, I just love to spend money frivolously and I don't really care, you know, whatever, or was it like, you know, whatever the situation, the scenario, the circumstances, if you're not fixing the underlying thing, then even after you pay off all that debt, it's just going to come all right back to you, right? Like it's going to be the same scenario. And the thing about it is I think also people have this idea and this mindset that they're going to have it all figured out right away. And the truth is you're not. Even if I could drop every bit of wisdom that I hold, every bit of wisdom Corey holds, and every bit of wisdom four or five other huge financial gurus hold, and we all dropped it just in your lap, there is going to be some learning curve that you're going to have to figure out. You're going to have to make some missteps so that you can say, oh, crap. Okay, that's what they were talking about, right? Like, now I know I need to go this direction, not this direction. Some of it is just figuring out. I think, though, that the key to start with any really good pathway towards financial success and freedom is intentionality, creating a plan, and starting early down your path of whether that be, you know, savings for retirement and, you know, sort of savings for a rainy day or whatever. And I'll be real, it is really hard to temper it, especially when you're young and you feel broke and you feel like you're not making enough money and you're like, save, like how is that even possible? I barely have, you know, two pennies to rub together and I'm going in the rears, right? It's actually the whole reason I created, I have a free tracker. And basically what it is a tracker spending for 30 days, not your big ticket things, but your small ticket things, because I guarantee you, you're spending a lot of money you don't even realize you're spending just on frivolous stuff. And until you're self-aware, again, it's about that self-awareness. You're like, oh, well, that's where the money's going.
Yep. Totally agree. And people who, they look at their spending and think, I don't know where it all goes. I go, well, like you say, keep track of it, right, for those 30 days, you know? Keep track for 60 days. I don't care. Keep track of it, just period. And they said, oh, that was only $2. That was only $5. That was only $10. But there's 100 of those, you know?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that's exactly the point. That's actually what the tracking thing does, is it takes all those numbers and it shows you, like, that amount. And you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was spending $5 a day every day for 30 days. Well, then, again, do the math, right? Like, that's $150. And so it adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's that the reverse snowball, right? It's getting bigger and bigger on you. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, so it adds up quickly.
Yep. And then tools like that are great. You know, I mean, there's so many financial tools out there that we can use and get our hands on that are, number one, free, you know. They're out there. You just got to go look for them. They're out there. I mean, the calculators are out there. There's all those kind of things are out there. And just search about, I wouldn't say one's better than the other. It's just kind of what you're comfortable with using. And start looking at how to plan, how to adjust your spending and stuff like that. And you'll get better. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen in 5 years, but if you keep on it, it will get better.
I think for those of us listening, too, as we're learning, like, we should be sharing some of the information with our kids. Like, that's another thing we're not doing early enough is, like, and it's so funny because I never realized this was weird. So my family talked about money a lot, and it was like a constant conversation around the dinner table. And, like, I knew what my parents were investing money in. I knew what my parents were spending money on. I tell the story all the time that my mom made me read Sound Mind Investing in seventh grade because she wanted me to understand the concepts of money. And then my mom would also do little things with money, right? To, like, kind of try to help us learn some of the concepts and whatever, because a lot of times the reason that we don't want to talk about money with our kids is because we feel like we're uneducated. We don't really know. But here's the reality. You know more than your child does, period. And if you're not teaching them anything, then they're not going to know anything about money when they hit 18, because a rock's not going to fall out of the sky and whack them in the head and say, here it is, Corey. Like, here's all the information about money you ever needed.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Yeah, no, education's a big thing. I mean, when I went to school, they were still teaching us how to write a check, you know, with a checkbook. That's not even on the radar anymore in schools. It's not even anywhere. I mean, they don't teach any of that stuff anymore, which is crazy. I mean, nowadays nobody's using a checkbook either, hardly anymore, I guess. But you still should learn how to do that, balance everything, and keep track of your money. But it's not taught in schools no more. There's no financial literacy taught in schools. It's almost. I hate to say it, but it's almost like they don't want you to know how the money works.
Oh, I actually think that that's very intentional, in my opinion. I think that if you don't have a good handle on where life's going, where your money's going and things like that, it's way easier to control you, as my personal viewpoint. And so you have a responsibility to yourself and to your family to take charge of it, because no one is coming to save you on that front, right? There are those of us who are trying, like, I really would love to create a nonprofit to go into inner city school kids and start teaching them about money and credit, because typically the money habits and viewpoints and thoughts are coming from your family. And so if you're living at the lowest level, more like poverty, the lowest level kind of the financial rung of our society, you're most susceptible to stay there or to get worse, one or the other. And so I would like, to do that, et cetera. But the truth is that, so this is a very funny story. So I had this dream for a long time that I wanted to do this. And I reached out to a lady on LinkedIn who was very adamant about doing some financial education pieces. And so I was looking to figure out how we might be able to partner together and collaborate to reach this bigger aim. And she actually told me, this is what she told me. She's like, well, you can try to fight that battle, but it's worthless. And I was like, okay, why do you say that? And she's like, well, I've offered several independent school systems, my services free of charge, this and that, and blah, 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 blah. They're not interested. And I firmly believe that a lot of times is because, again, it's like, okay, they're not getting paid for that. They're getting paid to teach algebra and to teach, English and science and whatever the heck else. And so teaching money is not paying the bills or making sure that the school system is getting more money. So it doesn't matter to them. It's not going to be a priority, right? And so you can feel like that is either about control or about money, but it all boils down to the same thing. You're not getting the knowledge that you need to be able to really succeed on a broader level.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I've hit schools up trying to kind of do little, like 4-hour things with kids and stuff like that. You don't really get any feedback from them. I don't know if it's the system itself is just kind of like, if it's not in our curriculum, we're just going to push it off the side. We're not going to worry about it. I do know that the private schools, they do accept it a lot more. I have private schools with it, and they are very, very open for you to come in and do, some kind of seminar with kids or whatever, but then again, there's a private school, right? Kids there, parents are paying for them to go to that school. So money's probably more prevalent, more talked about in that area. So it's kind of funny how you see that it all worked through the system but financial education is key.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, this is another thing that people don't take into consideration. So I'm going to use one of my girls. I have three adult stepdaughters, and they jokingly always called car rides with me called life lessons with Jacqueline. That was always the big joke, because we were always talking a lot about money and intentionality and where you want to go in life. And I was always very adamant with them that, look, no matter where you want to go in life, I don't really care, as long as you get there intentionally and you've thought through how you want to live or what that we want that to look like. And we've worked backwards, right? Like, if you want to live in a van down by the river and that's like what you want to do and you don't really want to make a lot of money, perfectly fine. You want to live in a giant mansion, also perfectly fine, right? How do we get there? Like, what does that need to look like? And one of my girls, who definitely due to, my own struggles as well as some of her own, she likes to spend money. And so sometimes she ends up with a little bit more debt than she would like. Okay. Which, she's trying to work through that, figure that out and navigate that in her own way and on her own terms, which I'm proud of her for having the self-recognition and like kind of trying to work through it. Cause it's not always like an instantaneous, like, okay, I'm just not going to spend money anymore. Like, that's not always a reasonable ask. And so she's had to kind of try to figure this out. But what she is super diligent about is saving. She has a very fair amount of savings as far as like her emergency fund. She has a very fair amount of savings in her retirement funds. And so she's using at least like some of these positive lessons. Like, yes, you can argue that the consumer debt is not great debt, and that's true. However, at least she is kind of tempering it. And so oftentimes I think we're looking at it and we're only seeing that negative, right? Like, we're only seeing, oh man, I'm such a loser with money because I have gotten myself in all this debt or whatever. Okay, cool. What are we doing to positively offset it? And what are we doing to minimize this negative? What are we doing to overcome it? How are we shaping that? How are we finding, are we trying to find a side hustle to pay it off? Or I tell the story a lot on the show that one of my tricks, because I like to shop, is I will fake shop, aka I go online and I put things in my basket and I leave them there. And I see in a couple of days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, if I still really want it. And then if I do, maybe I buy one or a couple of those things, right? I kind of try to fake have the dopamine of like shopping, even though I'm not actually shopping, right? Like whatever it is that works for you, you got to kind of find your way. Because I tell people all the time, I mean, arguably, I should be able to get over the fact that I like to shop. Because I understand money. I understand that that's not a productive use of money, but I can't help myself. I like to shop. Like that's just something that I genuinely enjoy. So, I mean, I could try to pretend like it doesn't exist. I could try to tell myself, no, Jax, you're not a shopper anymore. But as I joke all the time, my 40 purple cups behind me speak differently. They just do.
You're blowing my mind. I love that fake shopping. I'm thinking placebo shopping, right? We should actually have
them. I mean, I'm telling you, it sounds bizarre, but it does work for me because a lot of times I like the high of like, ooh, that's a really cool thing. You know what I mean? And like putting it in the cart and like, you know, imagining owning it sometimes is enough. Like I know, again, I know that sounds weird, but sometimes it is enough for me. So I'm like, all right, well, there you go.
I'll have to make a fake app so you can push. You can even go one step further and push the buy now button.
There you go. I mean, you know, because a lot of times we do a lot of the things we do and a lot of patterns we do because of the dopamine hit, because we want that kind of high, like that good feeling. And again, there are other ways to do it. And sometimes we just have to learn like some really hard lessons. Like, but I think people trying to go against their natural grain, I think that it creates challenge. It's just like me. If you try to tell me, look, Jax, you can't go shopping for the next 6 months. If you don't go shopping and you don't do any of that shopping for 6 months, I will give you $100,000 in cash. I'm going to be real with you. I don't know if I could do it because it's kind of such a part of like something I enjoy and I like doing and I like seeking and finding the thing that I really want and all those things. Like that whole process for me is very fulfilling. And so I think a lot of times people try so hard to grit against that and say, no, I'm just going to go cold turkey and I'm not going to do this. I don't think that that's always necessarily the most helpful because what ends up happening is that you don't shop, you don't shop, you don't shop, you don't shop, you don't, and whatever it is that you do. And then you just, and you spend $20,000 in a minute because you have been restricting yourself from it so hard. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Kind of like a binge drinker, you know, where they don't drink for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. And then I met my limit. Now I can go out and party. And then they're just like, yo, get annihilated, right? Just because
correct. They
can. Yeah. No, I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And I guess it's very easy to do with money, right? Because you saved a bunch. Now you think you got that much to spend. And usually it's because they don't know what else they can do with it.
Correct. Well, and I mean, the other thing is, and this is something that I've told people too. So I basically make sure that I can't see all the money that we have because my brain will come up with things that like I could do with it, ways I could spend it or whatever, right? And so in a weird way, like I hide money from myself, if that makes any sense, right? So that I don't just go out and it's not that I don't know that it exists, right? I'm very diligent about knowing that, hey, I have money over here. I just don't go look at it every day because by me looking at it, you know, and then my brain will start being like, ooh, like what can I do? And so a lot of times, again, I feel like people are working against themselves and that's not helpful. Being intentional and being self-aware means that you are digging into yourself and you're asking yourself hard questions and you know who you are and you don't try to ignore it. Because the truth is you are who you are. And first of all, that's not a bad thing, right? Like you're uniquely Corey. And we wouldn't want to change the core of who you are because you're a unique, amazing, beautiful person. We just need to figure out, okay, like, what does that look like? What are your strengths and weaknesses? How do we maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses? But pretending like your weaknesses don't exist or pretending like that this is all negative, right? Because there's always a yin to the yang. Like, that is not going to be helpful. And I feel like that's what most money people say to you. Well, you know, just get over that. Okay, sure. Yeah. No biggie.
Yeah, that's the easiest one everybody says, right? Just get over it. Move on, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's easy for them to say. It is very easy for them to say. Now, I've been there. I've had struggles in my life, you know, and none of them were easy to get over, you know, but you work through them, you try to, and I wouldn't say I've conquered them all yet either. So it's a day-to-day process. You just got to keep moving forward. And it's the same thing with saving money. It's a day-to-day process. You try to minimize and save what you can to put it in the correct places too, right? Just saving them money and putting in a coffee can somewhere. I mean, sure, that's great. You save some money. It's a good learning experience, but there's other strategies that you can use to help that money grow what's inside that bucket, you know?
For sure. Well, and people have to start small. Like, you know, a lot of banks and things like that now will do the, you know, keep the change kind of thing, whatever. So they like basically round off all your purchases and like put some of it into a savings account and stuff like that for you, whatever, right? But a lot of people don't realize with their savings, this is why you don't want to keep too much aside in just an emergency fund, is that that money is actually losing value because inflation is increasing year over year. It's very rare for us to either have zero inflation or negative inflation. Does it happen? Yes. Historically, that has happened over time, although it is very rare. So money is actually devaluing. So if you hold $1 and you put it in an account that makes nothing or under your mattress or wherever you're holding the dollar, come 1 year later, it is worth less.
Yep.
Yes, it's still a dollar, but what it can buy, its buying power has decreased. And so technically you have devalued it if you know what I mean? It's worth less if you're just holding on to it. And so that's something that a lot of people don't understand when they're talking about the concept of money. And a lot of cultures that are very cash heavy because they are afraid of financial institutions, they're afraid of banks, they're afraid of these things. They have to understand that they're actually doing themselves more hurt and more disservice than they are help by not acting accordingly to using that, right?
Yep. Yep. The rule 72, right? That's where that comes into play for that.
Correct.
All that stuff. I mean, there's all those little rules and things out there that are the basics that never change with money. And they're pretty simple to go, just whatever, how kids do it today, just chat GPT it, right? And it'll,
for sure,
it'll give you all those things, read them, learn about them, and you'll start to understand the basic concepts of how money works. So,
well, I was going to say, do you want to explain the rule of 72 if there's a listener who doesn't really understand what that is or how it works?
So it's how money compounds, right? So basically you take the amount of money you have. Boy, you're hitting me right on the spot here when I got to word it correctly, right? I understand it when I'm doing it, but you divide by 72, the amount of money you divide by 72 to tell you how many years it takes to double, basically. And so you just reverse it for inflation.
What he's saying is that there is a specific calculation. It's called the rule 72. You can absolutely Google it, put it in chat, whatever you want to do with it. But basically it's the concept that you want your money to compound over the course of time. And so you need to make sure, like I said, this is why the vehicle is an important feature, right? And understand that interest rates in general, they're all tied together. So what I mean by that is that your car interest rate, if your car interest rate is high, usually your savings rate is also going to be high. Now, it's not usually going to exceed what the savings interest rate is, okay? But it usually will be higher than it is. So like when everybody started freaking out because all the interest rates started going up across the board, right? Be it car loans, student loans, all that other stuff. What that generally means is that your other interest rates are going to go up too, okay? And if you don't understand exactly why that is, it's literally just the concept of when the money is loaned out, how much they can give the investor of the money. And if you have money in a savings account and it's earning interest, you're actually an investor. The bank is using that money to then go and loan it out to somebody else and make a percentage on top, right? That is what is actually happening on the back end, right? And for those of you who are not aware, that's actually why the Great Depression happened. What happened is that all of these loans, these people couldn't make the payment anymore. And then everybody freaked out and they ran on the bank and they tried to take all that money out. Well, the bank didn't have the money to give them because the money had been loaned out for cars or houses or tractors or whatever the people had borrowed money from the bank, right? And so that's why like a lot of people have this idea in their head, okay, if I put this money in my account, if I go right up to the bank, I could take out every single dollar. The bank does not have as much money physically sitting in it as has been brought in by people. And it's why something called the FDIC, which is the, well, what does it stand for? The Federal Department of Insurance something, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not always good with what all the acronyms stand for, but in essence, what the FDIC is it actually insures your money. So because of the Great Depression, they basically said, and I can't remember how much dollars, because they change it sometimes over the course of time, but so many of your dollars are insured by the federal government. So if for some reason the bank does go belly up and you had $100K in your account, the federal government, the FDIC, would actually reimburse you for that amount of money. So when people are freaking out and they say, oh, I don't trust banks and whatever the heck else, well, there has been created some protectionary measures to make sure that as long as you're not keeping millions and millions of dollars in your account, then yes, you should be fine to be insured by the FDIC.
Yep. Just on that note, there are certain accounts that will insure you up to $50 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are specific kinds.
Most banks are $250,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was 250, but it's been a minute since I've looked at what the rules are.
Yeah, it is. For each bank, it's 250,000, but there are other ones that will handle more money. And basically why they can handle more money and do the 50 million is because they are putting it in multiple different banks. They're taking your 50 million and putting it in multiple places so it's covered. But the one that I deal with is only up to 50 million. So there could be another one that does more. I don't know. I haven't found that one yet. If listeners out there know, let me know.
Well, I was going to say, if you have more than $50 million, I'm going to be real. You're probably not listening to this podcast because your financial mastery probably has already been achieved. At least I hope so. And you probably have a whole series of lawyers and financial planners and people who are helping you make the wisest, smartest decisions with your money and how you're using it and spending it and all the things.
Yeah, but, and you know it too, if you're in the financial world, there's some people that make a lot of money that aren't smart with their money.
Oh,
that
yeah.
They can be doing so much more with it.
Yeah, no, that is very true. Because also the other thing that's unique about money is it's a very big amplifier. So whatever is going on inside of you, if we add more money to it, it doesn't make you a better or worse person. It just makes whatever you are amplified. So yep. If you were already a bad person, you're going to be a worse person because you have more money and you can do more bad with it, right? Yep. If you were a great person, then it's going to amplify that, right? And so you definitely, I mean, that's why when people are like, oh, money's the root of all evil and it's bad to have money or whatever, I'm like, that's not true. It's just an amplifier. It has nothing to do like with you being a good or a bad person. It is simply an amplifier. And there's plenty of people that are bad people that have lots of money. And there's plenty of people that are wonderful people with lots of money. And part of the reason I'm on a mission to make sure that people have a really good understanding of financial mastery and that they can simplify it down and figure out what they want it to look like for their life is ultimately I would like a lot more people that were good people that had significant wealth, right? That could build a life and they help others and they do some of the greatness, great things in the world, right? Because if it's more bad apples than good that have money, then as a society, we're going to have more struggle.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree. Good money, bad money, that whole thing, you know, and it's like I say, it goes back to the relationship with the money, right? That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, like I said, it's just such an interesting thing, money, because I talk about this a lot on the show too, that it's a made up thing. It's basically a contract. Yes, we used to back it with like gold and silver and things like that. So it was actually like a physical thing. But I mean, in essence, money, we give it the value, right? Like we are giving it the power and the things like that. And so I firmly believe that it's your choice and your decision to take that power back, to make those decisions, right? I share sometimes on the show that I have a lot of information, a lot of good education surrounding money based on not only the way I was raised, but also the professional career that I walked down, right? I mean, my main job is mortgage, but I've done life insurance and I have a law degree and I have sold property and casualty insurance. So that's like home and auto. Like I've done all these things that sort of touch this very heavy like financial space. And what a lot of people don't realize is that I don't make every single perfect decision. The difference is that I make them from a place of knowing. So maybe every decision I make isn't great. Like my husband and I took a risk about 4 years ago that has had some major complications and has created some major challenges and even financial hardship in my life. And I may not necessarily love the result of every one of these decisions, but what I can't say is that I didn't know. I knew going in what the risk looked like. I knew going in what the potential good and bad, and maybe it amplified a little bit because life just lifed and there were some external things that negatively affected. But as opposed to allowing that to destroy me and make me feel like, oh man, well, I must be such a loser with money, right? Like I can't talk about financial mastery. I can't get on here with Corey and like talk about understanding about money because look at what's happening in my own personal situation. Well, that's not true because just because every decision I've made hasn't been perfect, it doesn't mean that I don't have the clear understanding and the ability to help you navigate, you know, what that looks like. And so many people that I've been on my show have had really hard money situations, have lost everything, have had to build back from scratch. And so financial mastery is not about making every choice perfect.
Yeah, no, it's that's so true. Going back to my contracting years, you know, when I was even getting started and happened to learn how to do something right, the fastest way I had to learn was when I was told to teach somebody else. So you don't have to be perfect yet. When you just go teach somebody else to do it, and you will subconsciously start to be better because you know you have to teach them. So you're I don't know what it is, but you don't miss as many steps. You don't miss as many things. You just automatically, you're trying to help somebody else. So it's going to do better. So like you said, having those conversations with somebody because you're intimidated, don't be afraid.
Yep.
It's okay.
Absolutely. We got to start from somewhere and you got to start baby steps or whatever. And if some of you are listening to this and you're farther down the path, then that's amazing, right? And then you adjust your steps accordingly. You listen and you're like, oh, okay, you know, hey, I have been maybe just holding on to my money, maybe in wrong avenues, and I need to kind of dig a little bit deeper and how do I invest a little bit smarter and whatever, right? And that's going to be the natural progression of things and how things kind of operate. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, Corey, and thank you so much for coming on today. I think that you have a free offer to give a listener. So let us know a little bit about that and we'll kind of wrap us up.
Yeah, I got a free offer. So what I have for everybody is that I'm putting out a book and awesome. It'll be on my website. It'll be offered through my website. For those of you jump on, ask for the free book. Also give you a free financial planning tools that'll be there too that you can use. But my book is just simply about my family's journey and it'll explain the struggles and tribulations we had with money and to get to where I am today through that. So it's just a simple, you know, about the Noons family journey and
I love that.
It'll be interesting. It'll be a good book.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think that that's really the key. And again, why I am so vocal and why I have the podcast is I want to ensure that people realize, yeah, that every family is, they're on their own journey and no two journeys are going to look the same. No two journeys are going to end the same. And you know, looking and judging yourself against others or whatever, right? I think looking and seeing some of those trials and tribulations and realizing like, hey man, it's not just me. Like I'm not the only one that has gone through some stuff is so helpful. So I love that you wrote a book. I wrote a book as well, but mine is a little bit more mortgage centric. Mine is trying to help people understand what the big rocks look like as far as like going through that mortgage process and looking to buy that house because I've seen so many people get hosed and it just upsets me. I'm like, man, if they just knew the information, if they just had it, right, then they would be able to kind of not make necessarily bad decisions. They would make decisions that were more aligned with them. So I love that. Well, thank you, Corey, so much for being on the show today. And hopefully you found this episode helpful kind of as you're making your money journey and trying to figure out exactly how that all fits into your life and the life that you want to lead and that you want to live. And so again, thank you for watching this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified, and we will see you again next week.